Well, just going back over the course this past week, it's still mostly a case of relatively firm US data coming through. We didn't have too much data, but we had the March non-manufacturing ISM survey came out. That's the services sector in the United States. And these are businesses reporting on that survey. And it was interesting. Yeah, the market expected a rise. It was already strong at 55.3 going back to February. They expected that to rise to around 58, maybe even 59. It went all the way up to 63.7. So, you know, these lead indicators are really getting a shove upwards now again because of the policy initiatives in the United States. And on top of that, you know, we've still got the confirmation from the Fed, both in the minutes of the last meeting that came out last week and a speech given by Jerome Powell that, yeah, they're going to be holding the line as far as monetary policy is concerned. So even though the US is showing the most powerful signs of lift in economic activity, there's no signs of the Fed coming back from very, very easy monetary conditions for the time being. So that's, if anything, a little bit of an anchor when we get bond yields starting to try to push upwards. Some of the other data that came out last week, we can see that the consumer's coming back in the US. We had February consumer credit data. Consumer credit had been languishing a bit over the last few months. And going back to January, you know, we got a lift, was barely a lift in consumer credit in the month. It was only just above the zero mark, $0.09 billion. Well, that jumped to one of the highest readings we've seen for monthly consumer credit, all the way up to $27.58 billion increase for the month of February. So if nothing else, this is a lead indicator that, you know, retail spending is going to be, you know, really roaring off the blocks, you know, helped by the fiscal initiatives and consumers deciding that they can afford to go out and start to borrow. We also have something which is a little bit less comfortable, and that was producer prices in the United States. We had the March reading of these, and they were quite a bit stronger than expected. So the headline producer price index reading came in at 1% month on month, and that followed a 0.5% increase the month before. So producer prices on a year-on-year basis have now risen from 2.8% year-on-year, going back to February, which, you know, is fairly much acceptable, but they've risen to 4.2% year-on-year for the month of March. Now, if we were to continue to get those order of price increases running through producer prices, yeah, it's not going to be long before you start to see inflation really starting to kick up to levels which may start to worry the Fed. So watching that one with some care, you know, we're starting to see just the first flickers really here of some inflation pressure in the pipeline. And it was there in core producer prices as well, you know, taking out the volatile items. That was expected to be up 0.2% month on month. It rose by 0.7%. And as a result of that, the annual rate of core producer price inflation rose from 2.5% year on year, going back to February, to 3.1%. So again, same story, that bit of a pipeline pressure point starting to show. We get another look at this early this week. We get on Tuesday night the CPI coming out for the month of March. And, you know, this could be a bit of a market mover for the bond market at least. So they'll be watching that after PPI. And the market consensus for the CPI is it'll rise 0.5%. It rose 0.4% going back to February. If that were the case, you would see the annual inflation rate jumping to 2.5% year-on-year from 1.7%. So that's getting to the range of, well, it's actually a little bit above the Fed's target at 2%. But, you know, the Fed for the time being feels all this is a bit temporary, you know, that we're going to get some ebbs and flows running through the inflation rate. But still, something for the bond market to worry about a little bit if the figures come in around that level. The core CPI is also expected to rise, but not quite so worryingly. It's expected to be up 0.2% after a 0.1% increase. And that would lift the annual inflation rate to 1.6% from 1.3%. We get a lot of lead indicators coming out through the course of this week too, many of them relating to housing, but also to the manufacturing sector. And on Thursday, we'll get two of the regional manufacturing surveys coming out for New York State for the month of April and for the Philadelphia Fed survey for manufacturing in that district for the month of April. Going back a month, these both had really strong rises. And so the Empire State survey zeros the expansion contraction line on both these surveys, and we got all the way up to 17.4% positive on the New York State survey. That's expected to lift a bit further to over 18.2. The April Philadelphia Fed survey is an interesting one because going back to March, we had the most outrageous lift in this one, up to plus 51.8. Never seen that before, as high as that. It just suggests that everything's doing absolutely gangbusters. And they're expecting it'll come back to plus 43. That would still be a very, very strong reading. And the same day as we get those, we also get retail sales data coming through for the month of March. These ones will have some government assistance in them. So after being down 3% month on month, retail sales going back to February, they're expected to lift by 5.5% month on month for the month of March. And core retail sales, which were down 2.7% going back to February, expect to lift by 4.8%. So some very strong data here expected later in the week. It's going to be there with industrial production too. They expect March industrial production to lift by 2.8% month on month after being down 2.2%. And we also get the April National Association of Home Builders Index, which had gone backwards a bit to 82. It's still a very strong reading back in March. That's expected to lift a little bit to 83. We finish off the week with housing permits, housing starts for the month of March, and also the April Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. As far as housing permits and housing starts, they're both expected to rise, permits by about 1.7% month on month. Housing starts are expected to have a very big rise of 12.6%. It does, more than compensates for a 10.3% fall going back the month before. So the story of all these data points are, it's looking like it's going to be pretty strong. Moving to China, and we had one more producer price index came out last week. It was the private sector Caixin services sector PMI. Rather like the official one, it lifted strongly and went up to 54.3 from 51.5. We also had the CPI and PPI coming out for the month of March, and these went in slightly different directions. You still got some deflationary force running through the CPI for China, but it's a question of how long it will last. So the CPI actually fell by 0.5% year on year after being down 0.2% year on year. But the pipeline, producer prices, and it's a pipeline not just for China but for much of the world because they're still basically the manufacturer for the world. And the producer prices, they lifted sharply from 1.7% year on year. They were expected to lift to 3.5%. They lifted to 4.4%. So, we've got some producer prices in both the US and in China showing a lot of power moving upwards at the moment. So, these pipeline pressure points in inflation rates, I like to show in various places around the world as we go a little bit further down the track. Also in China, this week it's going to be interesting. We get some pretty strong readings, very strong in fact. They start on Wednesday and most of them come out on Friday. On Wednesday we get exports and imports for the month of March. These are reported year on year, so compared with the same month a year ago. And going back a year ago, obviously we were still in the lockdown period in China, which is why we're getting some very big year-on-year increases. And going back to February, exports lifted by 60.6% year-on-year, massive lift. It's still expected to be up around about 32.7% year-on-year for the month of March. Imports going back to February are up 22.2% year-on-year, still expected to be up over 20%, 21.6% year-on-year when the figures come out for March. On Friday, we get fixed asset investment spending for March, industrial production, retail sales, all of them showing huge lifts. They did in February too. Fixed asset investment spending was up 35% year-on-year going back to February. Still expects to be up 25.3% year-on-year in March. Industrial production was up 35.1% year-on-year, going back to February. Expects about 15.6% year-on-year for March, and retail sales, which are up 33.8% year-on-year, expects about 27.7% year-on-year. But then China becomes the first country in the world to produce its Q1 GDP numbers. And it's going to be one hell of a number. So going back to Q4 last year, China was unique in that it had strong growth in its year-on-year GDP number. It was up 6.5% year-on-year. Most other countries, including ourselves, put a negative sign on the front of their annual GDP growth. So China was already starting, well and truly, has recovered all it lost during the pandemic and has recovered quite a bit more. That was in Q4 last year. Well, in Q1, when the figures come out, it's going to be related to that poor quarter going back to Q1 last year. The market consensus is 18.8% year-on-year growth in GDP. So truly phenomenal number. It'll settle back a bit when we get to Q2, but this is the number that's coming out at the end of this week, and extraordinarily strong. There's a real chance it may go well above 18.8% too, given what you're seeing running through the monthly readings that we've seen in China. Coming to Australia, and interestingly, last week we had ANZ job ads came out at the very beginning of the week. Another really strong rise, so up another 7.4% month on month. The previous month was revised upwards from 7.2% to 8.8%. There's been a little bit of a survey done this first week, where JobKeeper came off. Where some employers were hoping to actually see a few people looking for jobs who are coming off JobKeeper. The uniform reports from everybody who's looking for workers was they still can't find them, that there's been no evidence of a real surge in people looking for jobs in this very early part of April, which they're really hoping for to fill some of these vacancies, which are arising very, very fast in Australia at the moment. The RBA meeting left the interest rate unchanged. They're still not blinking. So basically, the tailpiece right at the end of the statement that came out with the monetary policy meeting was that they accept that they've got quite a bit of inflation pressure running through housing, and they're watching that with some care, but they're not going to be too concerned unless they see some deterioration in lending standards. There was a speech given by the RBA governor where he was saying that he was worried that low interest rates may be causing people to indulge in risky behaviour. But when it comes down to those interest rates and whether they're changing, no, still the same statement, not changing them before 2024. The only thing that matters to them is the tightness of the labour market and what that may do to wages, because the inflation rate will be a bit bumpy over the next period, but they're going to read through it. And basically, they don't see any sustained pressure on inflation until they get wages growth well up. And they don't see those conditions developing until 2024 at earliest. So you've still got that same guidance on, but still a lot of questioning of that from a lot of quarters now, whether that can be sustained. Also last week, of course, the IMF lifted Australia's growth forecast for this year too, all the way up to 4.5% now. We're way ahead of official forecasts now from these international agencies and what they expect for Australia. But still, we've got the same line coming through from the RBA as far as the cash rate's concerned. This week in Australia, on Tuesday, we'll get the NAB Business Conditions Survey, includes business confidence, which looks forward. Both readings of this going back to March were strong. They're up at plus 15 and plus 16 respectively. They're probably going to hold around those levels for the month of March. We get April Westpac consumer sentiment on Wednesday, and we were up 2.6% month on month going back to March. It's very elevated now, the consumer sentiment survey in index terms, and it's probably going to rise again after the most recent month. And on Thursday, we'll get March employment reading, and this one should rise again, in terms of employment, before the JobKeeper came off. The survey for this one would have been taken in the first 2 weeks of March. And the market consensus on this is that we'll have a rise of 35,000 for employment. The month before, the market expected 30,000 and got 88,700. So it'd be interesting just to see how that number shows when it comes through on Thursday. Participation rate was already elevated at 66.1%. They expect that to stay at 66.1%, which is just about a record high. And the unemployment rate is expected to edge down further. Last month, of course, we had a very big fall in the unemployment rate, down to 5.8%. Market expects that to edge down to 5.7%. But clearly, we're working our way down through levels now, which are way better than RBA forecasts. Of course, we won't see another set of RBA forecasts until the first week of May, which really isn't that far away, I suppose. But they're going to have to make massive revisions again, positive revisions to their forecasts again. And this is the strain on what they're saying about interest rates all the time as these sorts of details come through. In Europe last week, the better data's not lost in Europe either. We had the April Centix Investor Confidence Survey, and there was a rise there from plus 5 to plus 13.1. Market expect plus 6.7 on that, so way better than expected. Not quite so good on the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate came out for February. They have been doing these various lockdowns. They've got furloughs, which helped to keep the unemployment rate down for some countries. But it was still edging up. And they had a revision upwards of the previous month in January from 8.1% to 8.3%, and it held that level for the month of February. We had the services sector PMI came out for the month of March, and this one lifted more than expected from 45.7 to 49.6. Still not above 50 yet, but it's getting there. And so that one's reasonably optimistic. And a similar story on their producer prices too. This is a bit older because they take longer to get their data out. So this is only a February reading. But the annual annual change on producer prices from Europe in January was plus 0.4%. They expected it to lift to 1.4. It lifted to 1.5. So it's not quite as dramatic, but it is an earlier number relative to the US and China. But the same sort of story that these producer prices are starting to run. Europe this week, we've got some retail sales data. It should have a rebound in February after being down 5.9% going back to the month of January, and market's looking for a 1.5% increase. ZEW economic sentiment on Tuesday, this had a good lift from the 60s to 74, going back to the month of February, so March, probably going to be higher than that again. And we get some industrial production and trade data later in the week. But broadly speaking, it's a story of the economic numbers, the economic surprises are fairly much on the upside. You've still got strong policy prescription driving these things for the time being. There is this battle between what central banks are saying about how they can sit back because inflation is not a problem. We're starting to get these odds and ends of bits and pieces of information which say that inflation could come back a bit quicker than expected. And as far as the RBA here is concerned, they really are whistling in the wind if they think that they're not going to see any meaningful inflationary pressure before 2024. So it's just an issue of when they start to change that guidance. They haven't done it yet, but at some point they probably will have to.